Hi, I'm Josh Shearer and I serve as the lead pastor here at Gawler Uniting Church. I wanted to personally thank you for joining us today. We exist as a church to see lives transformed with the good news of Jesus. Now, I hope this service inspires you. I hope it blesses you. I hope it builds your faith and I hope it gives you perspective that God is moving in your life. If there is anything that we can do to help you, don't be afraid to reach out on social media or email our office. Thanks for joining us again, and let's get to the service.
Everybody. Isn't that an interesting thought to consider? If you could only thank one person for the positive impact they had on your life, who would it be? It's an interesting thought to get us started this morning. Because I'm sure there is someone in your life that you are glad to have met. There is someone who you are overwhelmed with joy when you think about them. You're so glad that you met them. I don't know where I would be if I hadn't met them. So as you can see, I hobbled myself up here this morning, and because I recently had surgery on my ankle, I felt quite awkwardly playing inline hockey. I know that's my own fault for playing sport, who would have thought that? But at the time, I didn't realise the extent of my injury. I thought I'd just sprained it badly. You fall all the time playing inline hockey. And I was convinced that I was going to get on back out there and help my team play. And I thought, I'll just ice it for a few minutes and I'll be right. You know, it's just a niggle, you know. I'm a bit stubborn, if you don't know that already. And it just so happened that I was actually only filling in. I wasn't playing for my normal team. And one of the girls there, it was her first game back after 12 months off. She had injured her Achilles and had continued to play, and of course injured it, made it considerably worse. So she had had 12 months off, and this was her first game back. And she could see that I was uncomfortable, and she's like, Mel, it's okay. We can keep going without you. You don't have to push through. We were okay. And I hummed and hawed for a while, and I'll be right. I tried to get up on it again and skate on it, as stubborn people do. And I went, this is a bad sprain. This is a pretty bad. I'll set out for the rest of the game. And as it turned out, I went to the doctor the next day and found out that I had fractured my fibula in two places. And I've since had surgery. And who knows how much extra damage I would have done had I been more stubborn and persisted. And while my teammate isn't necessarily a Jesus follower, she was there with the right words to say at just the right time to stop me from doing something stupid. Most of us have experienced this sort of thing before, that there was someone with the right words to say, just at the right time. And these people have added insight, guidance, clearer perspective, encouragement, hope, even correction. We might not have appreciated it at the time, just like my teammate was like, no, Mel, you really need to sit out. I didn't appreciate that. I wanted to go back out and play. But in hindsight, I'm very grateful for that now, and I'm sure likewise for you as well. Our lives may be very different if that person hadn't dropped in at that time. Can you think of anybody? Before we get any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these people who you have dropped into our lives. And as we reflect over them this morning, pray that we give you thanks for putting those people in our lives at the right time. Lord, with the words that I speak and the meditation of my heart, be always pleasing to you. Amen. So we have been working our way through a series called Faithful, which is fueling your faith in a world on empty. And the focus of this series has been looking at how Jesus has called us to be more than simply believers. We are called to be followers. Now, a follower is someone who actually does the same things and replicates the behaviors and attitudes of the person they're following. Followers have an active and all-in faith. Faith that changes things, confronts things. As Josh explained last week, when Jesus went about recruiting his disciples, he asked them to follow me. And Jesus never changed his invitation. It's always been, follow me. However, over the years and over the millennia, the church has simplified the idea of following down to believing. Just believe in me. Which we know isn't enough. Just believing something to be real or true doesn't bring about change in our behavior. Like believing in the tooth fairy. You can believe in the tooth fairy. A child loses their tooth and they get rewarded for it. Don't they? Unless you live in the Metz household and it takes a couple of days until that happens. And we see how that is a cause and effect relationship. You lose a tooth, or not us, a child loses their baby tooth and they get rewarded. It's cause and effect. But when we're called to follow Jesus, it's more than a call than to simply believe. We know that he existed. There are more texts than just the Bible that explain this to be true. There was, The Annals of Imperial Rome was written by a Roman senator and historian, Tacitus. In that, he describes the person of Jesus. So we are called to do more than simply believe. Just believing creates a feeble and frail faith. And without putting much faith into action, it can wane until eventually it all falls away and fades altogether. When I was a child, I attended, on a couple of occasions, kids' camp out. And there was one song, and I'm not going to sing it, but it was, faith is like a muscle, build it and it will grow. Faith is like a muscle, use it and it will show. I want to keep going, but I'm not. So, and that's why Jesus invites us to follow. So what actually do we need to do in order to build our faith? So there are five things. This week we're talking about providential relationships. But over the course of the last few weeks, and you can go back and watch our YouTube channel or hop onto the app and watch or listen to the app, you will hear that we've been talking about practical teaching, personal ministry, pivotal circumstances, and last week Josh talked about private disciplines. So providential relationships, that's where we're heading today. When someone describes their faith journey, there's always an element of, there was this person that I met and they taught me this, or my Sunday school teacher helped me understand the Bible, or this youth group leader really encouraged me, or my friend invited me to youth group, my friend invited me. There was always an invitation. Not always, but most of the time, there's some sort of invitation that happens. And it's almost as if that person said those right words at the right time to get you to where you went. You might have resisted initially, but they may have persisted, or God persisted in your heart until you made that decision. And that's why we call it a providential relationship, because God acted through that relationship. One particular experience that I'm happy to share is that when I was in my early is from when I was in my early 20s. And at the time, while I didn't necessarily identify as a Jesus follower, I was sort of more in the belief stage of my journey. It was in the early days of my relationship with Adam, and it seemed to be that the place where he lived on a Friday and a Saturday night, all of the extended group of friends would turn up at his place, the share house that he had with some of his friends. Everybody would turn up there. And it was a lot of fun, a lot of people there to talk to and stuff. And this one week, Adam's friend's girlfriend invited a friend along. Now that friend, she talked so enthusiastically about the church that she attended, that she was one of the singers there and that it was a lot of fun to be there and the teaching was really good. So much so that I was obviously compelled to attend. And from that, you can almost say that the rest is history. For me, that was a providential relationship. God put that girl there, that friend of a friend, there at just the right time, when my ears were ready to hear and my heart was ready to move. For some of us, those providential experiences may not have been quite so positive. Some friends might have decided that you were on a path of self-destruction and they have intervened. And while we might not have appreciated it at the time, we can look back now in hindsight and see that it was providential. God put those people there at just the right time, and it led to a chain reaction of events that would eventually lead us back to Him. There's also the likelihood that you have been part of that providential relationship with somebody else and you haven't even known it. You could be a good friend. You thought you were just being a good friend or a colleague at work, a teammate. You were just doing the right thing as a parent, or you could have just been a smile at a passerby. But for the other person on the receiving side of that relationship, it was just what they needed at that time And for them, it may well have been a defining moment. But we shouldn't be so surprised, though, that God uses our relationships to grow our faith. After all, God is a relational God, and he exists in a relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he desires a relationship with us. We look to the book of Genesis, and we read at the beginning that God was in a direct relationship with Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the garden until, unfortunately, they were cast from the garden after they were deceived by the serpent, and the trust in that relationship was broken. However, that breakdown in relationship is the whole reason why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth to act as a bridge between God and man, to restore that relationship, to build that trust back up again. Jesus was sent to earth to interact with us as a human and to bring about change within us. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." So Jesus walked with us and dwelled within, amongst us. He knows what it's like to go through the trials of life. And for anyone whose life intersected with Jesus, either before, during, or after his ministry, for them it was a defining moment. Even before Jesus' ministry started, he was making waves. We recall that he, as a child, left his family and started talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple. And they were amazed at what he had to say. They were amazed at his understanding. And for any of those people there, that would have been a considerable moment for them. Have a look now at one example that comes to mind. Well, that's our Bible reading for today. We have a look, well, one of the Bible readings. We're going to have a look at John chapter 1, verses 43 to 47, where we've got one such relationship that comes across. We've got Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and to whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Philip is so excited. He's gone up and found his friend Nathanael and telling him, "We have found the Messiah." And Philip turns to him and goes, "Nazareth, are you sure? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. And here we see his friend Philip persisting. "Forget about that. Forget about where it comes from. Come and see for yourself. Come and see." Nathanael did go and see, and he became one of the 12 disciples. And he would have been so grateful to Philip. "Thank you for inviting me along on this journey. Thank you for persisting, bringing me along, telling me to come and see so that I could see for myself." Even if he is from Nazareth, it's okay. So obviously, we can't necessarily create these providential relationships. Otherwise, they wouldn't be providential. God is the one that is moving. God is the one that is acting in these relationships. However, that doesn't mean we can't be proactive. We can still interact with more people and get into relationship and get to know other people, even ones that, who have a secure and strong faith. If we get to know other people with great faith, what's that going to do to ours? It's going to build our faith. So our other reading today comes from Hebrews. I can find it. I've got Hebrews chapter 10 verses, where are we? 23. And it says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The author of Hebrews is making it clear that being with one another and being with others matters. Meeting and being with other Jesus followers matters. How often do we see when someone that we know or a young person that we know gets into trouble? And we go, "Oh, they were a good kid. They just got mixed up with the wrong people. Oh, I knew him. He was a good kid, or she was a good kid. What happened? Oh, they got mixed up with the wrong group of friends." As parents, how hard do we try to direct our children to, and hope that they mix with the right people? We know this to be true because the people that we hang around the most are the people that influence us the most. And this is actually known as the social proximity effect. And it's related to the time that people spend together. We are social and relational people created in God's image. But we are also highly influenced by the people around us every day. And there's very little we can do to control it. But what we can do is think about who we spend our time with, because they're the ones that influence the way that we behave. And there have been multiple studies compiled that explain that if you hang around people who smoke and drink, then you are also more likely to smoke and drink. And if you're trying to quit these behaviours, it's very hard if you hang around people who smoke and drink. My mum's partner is over 20 years sober in AA, and he encourages people so much. And he says, "You sit in the barber's chair long enough, you're going to get a haircut." So the psychological influence of the people you're close to is strong. Their values become your values, and vice versa. I'm sure there are multiple examples of this in your own life. Have a look, think about some of your daily habits. I'm sure some of them have been influenced by your parents. Just a silly one that comes to mind for me is that I insisted that I slept on the left-hand side of the bed because that's the side my mother slept on. Now, it may have been that that was the one next to the door, which meant that she could get up easily to the kids. I don't know. But I know my side of the bed has never been close to the door. It's funny how even the smallest little mannerisms our kids pick up. My husband sits like this when he's watching TV, and it's funny when I see the kids doing the same thing. Whatever it is, it doesn't take long for the proximity effect to start working its way into our behaviour. There's nothing wrong with this, though. There's nothing wrong with the proximity effect. It's simply a characteristic of being human. That's how we learn. That's how babies learn, by watching their parents. We can harness this to improve our lives. If hanging around people with bad habits creates bad habits, then the opposite is true. Hanging around people with good habits will create good habits. Hanging around people of great faith will help you develop your faith as well. Hanging around people who pray will help you to learn to pray, and so on. And this is exactly what our Bible reading is talking about today. We need to spend time with each other to encourage each other and grow, spurring each other on to keep the faith. The author of Hebrews didn't have a psychology degree, but yet here it is in plain sight. Hanging around with other Jesus followers helps us, and it helps them to be a Jesus follower too. We can't do this. We can't live life in isolation. Staying connected builds our faith. I clearly remember in my teens lying to myself, saying to myself, I don't need to go to church to build my faith. I can read the Bible. I've got a Bible. I can read the Bible. I can pray. I don't need to go to church. And you all know what happened. My faith went down the toilet. The devil plants those lies, and we use those lies to justify our choices. But if I'd actually read my Bible, particularly this verse that I've read today, my life at that stage would be completely different. How many of us couldn't wait to get back to normal church after COVID and all the restrictions finished? Even if we did have to wear masks, we put up with it because we wanted to be here. We wanted that connection with people. I know there's a few people who still watch online, and that's great. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, because there's that point in your life and your current circumstances prevent you from attending every week, and that's okay. But I'm just reminding you to stay vigilant. It doesn't take much to get out of the habit of going to church. Might miss one or two weeks here or there because, you know, it's Christmas coming up and there's family stuff to do and there's other school events and there's so much going on. It's like, I'm just tired. I won't go today. Or I won't go to prayer meeting today, I've got too much on. Or I won't go to craft group today, I've got too much on. I won't go to men and women's fellowship. All of these different things are all different ways in which we can connect. And I encourage you. So many times I'm sure that we're like, oh, I don't want to go to church. But you show up and you feel great. You feel so much better for coming. But attending church on Sunday isn't the only way that we can connect with other Jesus followers and the faith community. And this is why we talk a lot about life group. The reason it's called life group is because we do life together. We share our hopes and our fears, our successes and our failures with each other. It's a safe place that we share and pray together. And we learn more about the characteristics of God together and what it means to be a Jesus follower in this day and age. We laugh together. And more often than not, we cry together. We encourage and lift each other up as we go through life together and our faith journey together. And this is why I believe, Anne believes, the whole church council believes, that being part of a life group is so important. It's more important than being here on a Sunday, because it's those deep conversations that we have in our group that helps build our faith. Sometimes you can't have that sort of deep and meaningful conversation in the noisiness and the busyness of morning tea out in the other hall. Though you can, I'm not saying that they don't happen. But getting to know each other on a really deep level happens in a life group. Life groups aren't the only way, though. I will give it that. Providential relationships can occur anywhere that there are people, because God is moving all the time through everybody. It could be that you've invited someone to the men's and women's fellowship group. It could be you've invited someone to craft group, to the Tuesday prayer gathering. You've invited a niece or nephew, grandchild, sister, friend, to a community night. The gingerbread night is a perfect example of a place where you could invite anybody. Everybody loves eating lollies and gingerbread. If you're not, you're weird. But what we do know is that it all starts with a single invitation. You might have invited them to Christmas last year and they said no. Ask them again. You don't know what their answer will be. You don't know what has happened in their lives in that 12 months. They might be ready. So I encourage you, ask, invite. If they show up and one day that person gets baptized, and you see that, you're there for that, how amazing will that be? And it will grow your faith too. Seeing God work in someone else's life so powerfully grows our faith too. And that's the power of providential relationships. Seeing God work in someone else's life helps our faith to grow deeper too. We know that regardless of whether or not we're 15, 50, I won't say any higher numbers because you're all young at heart, the people we choose to do life with influence the direction of our lives and the endurance of our faith. When we trust God with our lives, our faith gets bigger, stronger and more enduring. So if you've disconnected, well, obviously the people in here, you're here. But if you know someone who's disconnected, Help them to reconnect. Invite them. We have so much here that we can offer them. You have a lot to offer. We don't know what will happen. They might say no. They might say no again the next time you ask. Eventually, they may just say yes, because those layers have been slowly peeling away and their hearts are softening to hear God's invitation. And you never know, that person is connected and becomes a Jesus follower. Perhaps in their faith story, they might mention you as being that providential relationship. So before I finish up this morning, I've got three questions for you to have a think about. Can you think of someone that God has put in your life at just the right time? Was it a friend? Was it your mum or dad? Was it your nana? Or was it just someone at work? I can see a lot of people smiling, so it's nice to think about those people. Have you been the other side of that relationship? Have you played a providential role in someone's life? You might not even know it because they haven't told you. But it's nice to think you have, isn't it? And finally, are the people that have played an important role in your life, are they aware of how important they are to you? Have you told them that they were so important in your faith journey? If you haven't told them, tell them. Let them know. Quite often, they probably don't not realize it. They were just being a nice person. They were just being a friend. But I encourage you to reach out to them and let them know that God worked through them to bring you to be where you are today. And if that person is no longer with us, then send up a little prayer of gratitude and thank God for that person. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are a relational God and that you seek and desire to have a relationship with everybody. We thank you that you are moving in people's lives. We thank you for the people that you have used to help and reach out to us. There are people who don't even realize just the role that they've played and that you have used them. But Lord, we give you thanks for these people who have a special place in our hearts. Lord, give us the strength and courage to reach out to others. So often we are fearful of rejection. What if they say no? What if they don't like us anymore? What if they cut us out? Lord, we need to remember that they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the invitation. And that perhaps one day, if we persist just like Philip did, that they too will come to know you. We lift our prayers up to you, our Heavenly Father. Amen.
Well, thanks once again for joining us. If this service has been a blessing to you, why not share it with someone you know, or better yet, post it on your social feed, because you never know how God might use what you share to bless someone you didn't even know needed it. Special thank you if you contribute towards making this ministry possible. We are so grateful. If you'd like to help, head to gawleyuniting.org.au and follow the links to begin giving. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.